שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים.
Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here with New Life, the programs with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, sir. We are in a special period of time, the Corona era. Me and Rav Lightman are in two different studios so that we're not too close to each other. I came with a lot of pain, a lot of anxiety, a lot of questions, and I hope that you can connect to my questions and to Rav's answers. Be with us. Let's go on this journey. Rav Lightman, when I thought last night what I want to ask you, I didn't find clear questions because I feel that the heart and my mind are in a whirlpool. It's like I'm finding myself on the edge of a heartache, heart attack, and calm, an anxiety attack, and all of a sudden it passes. And I'm like in this blender. It's like all that I knew and recognized and I was accustomed to do for dozens of years, and with the children, and with work, and with my earnings, everything, it's all no. It's all no. And it's simply pressuring, it's stressful. So I wrote a few questions I want to ask you. After I wrote many, many questions, I have 5 pages with questions to you. I understood that the questions are not even important, but I really know what I need. I need for my talk with you, and that's why I like talking to you, will calm. Not calm me like some political commentary or some doctor. Your special observation, I really hope that you'll be able to help me relieve this great pain that's filling everything. That's it. I came to hear you. Rav, I don't know where to start. Altogether, I see you as a very rational person. You've worked in a very high up role as an accountant and money person, someone who's in a big company, meaning you're a person who likes numbers and mathematics and things that are much higher than emotions that a regular person has. And now you're demanding of me to talk to you on an emotional way, straight to the heart. Sometimes I manage to do that, but in truth, I'm in my role in the profession that I'm in, the wisdom of Kabbalah, which talks to the heart through the mind, or to the mind through the heart. It combines things in such a way, these contradictive things, systems that are so different, that maybe you'll continue and guide me more precisely of what you want. Oren, I'll be happy. When I thought about this, my whole life is made of circles of relations. There's my relationships with myself. There's my relationships with my spouse. There's my relationships with my children. There's my relations with God. There are many relations, and I wanted to go with you in these circles and for you to sort things, my observations, so that I'll look at things from a more advanced place than what I'm managing to do. I'll start from the first circle of me and myself. This change that this corona brought to my life is so great that I find myself in stress all the time, in some anxiety internally, some this shaking that's numbing the brain and burdening the heart. It's kind of like this ache, this confusion. You don't understand. It's like this mouse in a trap. My question to you is, what should I think about so that I will calm things down? What should I focus on in order to grip onto it and have an anchor? I would recommend, Rav says, recommend for you to invert the way you look at life. I think that what we were, We were in stress. We were in confusion. We were in states that were completely unorganized and balanced. And we needed to really, from morning to night and from night till morning, constantly do what's dictated to us. And I needed to constantly examine myself whether I suffice and I make what I have to do and what my managers are asking and what my family and more and more. And I owe the banks and I owe my work and I owe, in short. And this was my life. All of a sudden, something came. I don't know what. People call it corona. Corona, I don't know what that is. But this corona, all of a sudden, calms my life down. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything else. But I don't go to work. I sit at home. My children are not running anywhere. They're sitting in their rooms. My wife also is at home. We watch TV, let's say, each on his computer and his and working with his business, his engagements. I think we've come to a state was truly beautiful and good. And you're telling me about it as it's being a horrible state. Or, and look, I think there are several things that put this emotion of anxiety, which overcome your mind and heart and kind of numb us. First thing is, where are we going to make a living? I'm as a person with children, it's not clear. It's not clear. Everything was clear and known. All of a sudden, nothing is clear, nothing is known. And every day that passes, it looks even more threatening. So let's say, how should I relate to the fact that the future of my earning, I'm not talking about 1,000 years from now after all this. I'm talking about next week, next month, 2 months. How to calm the anxiety of that I won't have what's to buy food for my kids. Rav, but it's still just fear. Yes, correct. Meaning it's not the reality yet, but fear. There's still food at home in your refrigerator. You still have some, a little bit of money in your pocket that you can buy. It's not much of a problem. But these are the fears of what will happen, if it will happen, and so on. But for the time being, your life needs to be calmer if you're living this day. So what is it? What do you do? What does it mean to live this day? Meaning to put aside the thoughts of what will happen, if it will happen? But that won't give you anything. You nevertheless don't know what will happen tomorrow. So what for to start going crazy with worries and concerns? I have responsibility, I have children. Robin, how will that help you? Just think about it. What will happen. Everyone is under the upper force. And with all my efforts, I can't do a thing. Whether it's to the good or for the bad, this, the way he plans it, that's how it will be. Maybe it's best that I understand what he wants to draw me towards as none else besides him. And he is constantly advancing us towards some goal. So let's think about that goal and see what he wants of us. All that we have, we are all together a result of nature. Therefore, even our mind is no greater than the mind of all of nature. We hope that one day we will attain where we are, what existence we're in, what environment, what forces that operate on us. All of that is not us. We are altogether little particles of creation who think that we understand something about it. And also, when we do understand something in it, We understand and use it only for our own benefit. So what can you say about this participation of ours, our exertion, our effort, the goal that we're trying to put forth for ourselves? It was all for the bad. Our situation lately in humanity upon Earth was truly just before a huge catastrophe, before a huge blow. Everyone was talking about it already, that there's no choice, that we can't avoid the big global crisis with nature, with people, with industry, and with wars and politics and the monetary systems. Every single thing that a person has stabilized for himself, from his mind, from his feeling, he built this terrible world, which is living in a horrible way from crisis to crisis. So what was there so good that you, out of all those pressures, were happy to get a monthly salary and feed your family? And that's how you felt yourself whole and happy and delighted? I don't see in that a state that you can rejoice from. Now the question is, what happens next? Oh, and exactly, that's the question, because I completely agree with you that my despicable monthly salary was not something that was perfect or something that we can really have nostalgia over. And it wasn't clear either. Also, every month, I knew how much I was lacking that month. So I can go to my parents and ask for support, even though in my age, it was kind of ridiculous, but that was the reality here. But at least there was something. There was something. Now, like you said, what's driving me crazy is the pressures of what will happen. What will happen if? So today I still have, and probably for next week I have. But what will happen if? What do we do with this mixer that's mixing you up inside and say, what will be if? What will be if, Rav? In such a question, most people upon Earth live with, because that blow will soon close ourselves fully. This coronavirus will truly devour the whole world, all of humanity, and all of humanity will start thinking, what will be with me tomorrow? And it's beautiful. It's very nice. Who I'm dependent upon? How can I influence my fate? How can I assure myself, secure myself today, tomorrow, and so on forth? This is altogether something that I'm so happy that these questions awaken, especially for young people like yourself. A person in the middle of his life, he's 40 or so years old, has children, an apartment, a mortgage, a car, maybe two cars, and children are demanding more and more. And he's asking himself correctly, is the whole thing a matter of money? Here comes the question. If it's a matter of money and that's all we want, meaning we want to feel ourselves like animals that have food for today and food for tomorrow, the next day, for them and for their children, and that's it, no more than that. So how to exist solely? Meaning that I, just like a donkey, will eat from the same trough. That's what I'm looking for. Or maybe we'll think about other things too. Maybe this virus, which is happening to us, in a very, actually very strange way altogether. How many people died? It's a joke. It's much less than car accidents and other problems that exist. And humanity is about to go crazy over it. It's stopping all the industry, all the trade. What happened? This you understand. You're an accountant. You're a financial person. You understand that this is how it's happening because a few people died? but because of that, stop completely whole countries from producing. I really am in a great question here. What's happening? If I even heard that there are rumors that all the governments between them went into an agreement to do such a thing, and I'm not into all these conspiracies, and what do I care? I'm looking now at my today, my tomorrow, my yesterday, me and my children. I want to go back to something you said before that was really, Rav, you care about having food for tomorrow. First of all, to live. I think that's also the reason that the world decided to put into freeze. Let's first make sure we're alive. Then we'll deal with industry and business and big things. So if I go back to that place you said before, whether the existential concern, we'll call it, of mine, like an animal that lives and needs to eat and needs to feed its kids, that existential concern you said before, who am I dependent on? How can I influence my fate? By what can I secure myself? If I knew the answers to those questions, I might have had something that calms me, but I don't also know where all that question is going to come from, Rav. Probably that question awakens in everyone. I am sure in any thinking person such a question should arise, Rav, because we are animals, first of all. We are animals to start with. In nature, there are only three levels: inanimate, vegetative, and animal. The man type, mankind, belongs to the animal type, which, but it's altogether a little bit developed, but it's an animal altogether. So first of all, those things that animals need, which is food. It's like with animals. That's what they want. If there's no bread, there's no Torah, meaning food is the basic thing. But here, probably, what I want to say, nature wants to teach us. It's asking us in the opposite way. It's asking, what do you want to live for? We want to live because we're animals and we want to live. No, that's not enough. That's not enough. Animals will live with those questions, that they want to live only, and they don't care about anything else. But you are humans. You need to ask why we are living. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Therefore, such a blow comes, which I don't think it is a blow at all. It's a medicine. It's a remedy for humanity, like the coronavirus, which is asking, what are you living for? That's it. And in a very moderate way, slowly, slowly, think what you're living for. And meanwhile, I will help you with that, the coronavirus says. I'll disconnect all the imaginary engagements between you, which is 90% of what you were engaged in. You were just building and selling and throwing and building and selling and throwing and cheating and filling earth with all these imaginary things. And that you're just pouncing on each other just to buy and sell and buy and sell. Also for what? Let's throw that off also. That's how it is. Look at what's happening in Africa, in Oceania. There, we're throwing everything away. We built for ourselves such a system that just creates and throws away. And all we have to do is be without that engagement. Now comes the coronavirus and asks us, now that I'm stopping you, and you can't run anymore and buy and sell and do all those things because you can't. What will you do? Think what you were doing that for. And you'll see that there was no benefit in it. And you need to begin to think of another life, of the essence of life, what you're living for. You can't create a system that just creates and creates and creates, produces, and the last one just throws it away. And then it creates, 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 and the last one throws it away. There's no benefit in that manner. A person lives for what? Until you answer that, you should sit at home and think about it. That's very beautiful. Look at how nature, with love, with a beautiful attitude, like a mother and a father, like people who love their child and want him to think about his life and to learn. And if you sit now and think, what will be tomorrow? You will think in a more global manner. Not just this way. Look at yourself in what beautiful way. Very beautiful way you're sitting. And you don't know what you're going to do. That's excellent. That is what humanity must have. I don't see this coronavirus, but I would kiss it. I'm not afraid of it. Oren, what can give me hope? If you would be able to answer the question why you're alive, then you will continue. If you cannot find the answer to the question of why I'm alive, then you have no point of continuing. What do you mean then you'll continue? Continue where? You'll continue to develop as a man. Because the question of why I'm alive, what's the meaning of my life, is the question of mankind. And if I live without answering that, but just to exist, that's the question of an animal. You said to me before that the fear that fills me, kind of really numbs me, is not from what's now, but from what will happen if. Yes? And he said, what will happen will happen. We're all under the upper force, and what he plans, that's how it will be. Meaning, how should we relate to this correctly? Because also many people I know are not religious people. And how do you connect to Rav? It has nothing to do with religion. So how do you overcome this? It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with a person. How does this? What does this have to do with religion? A religious person doesn't even ask that question. The questions I'm awakening are not typical to a religious person. A religious person doesn't ask. It's written to him what he needs to observe, and he does so. He has no doubt that this is what the Creator said, and this is what he needs to do. That's it. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we specifically awaken questions that religious people don't ask. No. So from what point can I get this observation that you were describing earlier, that you have no point in getting crazy? That's what I understood what you said. Well, no point in getting crazy of what will happen if, because nevertheless, you don't decide. There's this general force, and wherever he advances you, that's where you'll go. Yes? So how should I look at this correctly without going into fanaticism or some kind of craze here? How exactly should I work with that so it will really give me this inner anchor and calm this what will happen if? Rav, now you understand how everything is clarified in thought. And if everything is clarified in thought, what's the intention? Everything was clarified in thought? It's all clarified in thought. You heard such a thing? It's all clarified in my thought? Yes, only. Of a person? Yes, a person lives in his thoughts. Completely. This I notice, this numbing and the inner pressure, it's my thoughts. They're kind of like, they're not nice. Let's hope that everyone is that way. So what? Take me from here to that place of the calm that you told me about before, so I'll be able to feel it, about this force that's advancing and managing and this upper force. What's that? Calm. Well, it's good for you to have calm. I personally don't seek calm because I'm still young. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for action. Yeah, actions in movies. Meanwhile, I'm in existential anxieties. Leave that nonsense. What existential anxiety? How to leave it? That's what I'm asking. How? By what do I leave this nonsense, like you call them, that are flooding my brain and my heart and not letting me sleep, not at night or day? Rav, all you need to do is to adhere to the essence of creation, which is to bring humanity to an upper degree, so that people will understand why and for what they're alive, why they develop, for what purpose. And then everyone will become in attainment of this goal, and it will be good for everyone. Only in thought everything will be clarified. We will sit silently. We don't need to do a thing, but participate in this. You have no thoughts of your own. Open our site in any language you want and start learning what's written there. You don't need to learn to remember, but to go through this emotionally, intellectually, develop the man in you, the person in you. The human in you is the one that identifies with nature. Oh, and who's nature? Nature is everything. The upper thought, the upper plan, the upper force, that's all of nature. If you're a religious person, then God in gematria, numeric value, is nature, which is also God. It's all included in nature. Try to develop in you feelings, thoughts that are such that you will feel the nature around you, which is called to know God. Try to emerge out of yourself to connect with all of this universe, with the thought, which is all of reality. And then you'll see why it was made that way. That we're not just small cockroaches living there upon some little earth, but rather nature wants to make of us something great, to give us the possibility of understanding Him, connect with Him. We have such an opportunity. Such an opportunity. You don't know, is this virus, it's medicine. It's not a disease. It's not some particle of a disease. It's a medicine. Look at what it's done. Look at what it's performed. Look how much purer the air became, fresher. How much people began to be healthier. They should do a study. How many people became healthier because we stopped to work in all those factories that just are causing filth in what they're doing with the air and our water. They're even saying that in Venice, I was in Venice several times. I remember that I dipped my hand from a gondola into the water. For 2 months, I had this bacterial fungus and this nail. It fell off completely. That's how filthy those waters were. Now they're saying the water is pure, and they're fish. They haven't had fish there for the last 50 years. Look at what humanity, what Earth wants to live. Just don't bother it. And you're saying, what will I have next month? Everything will work out, I'm telling you. We're being preceded a disease to the blow. Oh, and Rav Leitman, what can I tell you? It was really fun to talk to you. I hope that we will be able to do it more. Rav, enter our site and you'll see many things that will explain to you how to, first of all, become. Good luck. Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you, too, for being with us. Till next time. All the best. New life. So long.